Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to E-Electric Leftovers. My name is Jason. This is episode 430. We are, I think, just past the third way, quarter way mark for the year. It's one of them fun little times that we get into once in a while around here where we just, you know, talk about things that really have no impact on anything. We are in the house again today because we've got some problems out in the Groove Machine studio. I'm working on them. Don't worry about it. It's going to be a couple of weeks, though. Ain't looking forward to that, especially since work's going to start getting busy here real quick. Speaking of, happy Easter. Happy, Trans Awareness Day? I don't remember what it's called, but happy that. If you're upset that they both happened at the same time, well, it's not my fault that you guys put your made-up holiday on a predetermined festival thing, okay? And I'm not talking about you trans people. I'm talking about you other people. Anyway, this week on the show, we're going to talk about some new Warren Zevon stuff. We got a new movie. We're going to read some reviews for Gunsmoke. And we're going to look at a little game called Gun. Weird news, all the normal stuff. We're going to get into a new Warren Zevon album, I think. I think this is one we haven't looked at before. And it's a big one, man. I'm going to have a lot to talk about on this one. So, hope you're ready. You can experience the lawless Wild West as gunslinger Colton White in the action title Gun. Traverse an expansive world where you'll encounter outlaws, Native Americans, corrupt lawmen, and army psychopaths. You can assault a fort, hunt for bounties, and upgrade your equipment as you battle through a variety of gameplay styles. Gun also features a story written by Hollywood scriptwriter Randall Jansen. That's it. That's all the back of the box you get for Gun, an open world action adventure developed by Neversoft, published by Activision, released in 2005, available on the GameCube, PS2, PC, PSP, and a couple of Xboxes. This is a game I picked up. If y'all have been around forever and ever, you'll remember the Low Bias Gaming days. We'll remember before that we had the County Line Gaming days, and friend of the channel back then, Hoodie Mage, was playing Gun, and I really liked it. I was really enjoying the game and everything, and then he stopped playing it for whatever reason. Got kind of busy. So eventually I'm like, I want to play that game. Someone got it and I played it, and I really enjoyed it. It's really cool, man. Not only is there like an actual, like somebody who's written cinematic scripts, voice actors aplenty. Chris Christopherson, Thomas Jane, what's his name? Ron Perlman's in it. Brad Dourif is in it. There's a lot of really, really good people in this game. Gameplay wise, it's not the most exciting thing in the world, but I think it's pretty fun. You don't often get to see a Western game that's, you know, pretty good at the time. Anyway, this is way before the Red Dead Redemption games and all that. So really back here in the early 2000s, you had Gun and what, maybe one of the Call of Juarez games. Maybe wasn't a whole lot of them. I enjoy it. Give it a watch. Hopefully you enjoy it too. I was reading the back of the box and I noticed I have a splinter. Ring finger. My left hand. There's just a whole rat in there and he knows kung fu. It's crazy. So I'm just gonna get my little way oversized for this project box cutter here. And just dig around in my flesh for a minute. Some tweezers here. Like, it doesn't even hurt. I just didn't even know it was there until I looked. Like, what the hell is that? I mean, may need the X-Acto knife for this one.
Or do I have... Yeah, I do.
Anyway.
Gunsmoke.
I can do 1 1/4 things at the same time, I promise. NES. Let's see. We got any of our regular contributors? We don't. And I like that you guys just heard me say go to the NES ones, and there's still arcade ones. There's my little... I was looking for that. Anyway, who do we got here? Who do we got? Let's do... I'm just going to pick this one, this one, this one. No, we can't do that one. That one says arcade. You know, why let me filter? Okay, we'll do this one. So we got... that one, and this one. Okay. Ice Mage 2000 in 2018. Wow. Like, I haven't played this game that recently. A good arcade NES port. Gunsmoke is an NES cowboy shooting game that has you go through about 6 stages, blasting the hell out of bandits and outlaws. The town of Hicksville has been taken over by bad guys, and it's up to you to deal with them. Gunsmoke was an arcade game before being ported to the NES, and I never played the arcade, but it looks pretty fun based on videos I've seen. The arcade version has more levels. It's kind of a downer that the NES version is missing some levels and bosses, but it's still fun. The gameplay is pretty straightforward. You have a top-down perspective of your cowboy going through a level, moving up, down, left, and right. The controls and shooting are good. Unfortunately, like many old shooting games, you have to tap the button repeatedly to fire your gun, unless you have the machine gun. This is inconvenience, but it does keep you vigilant, which is what you're going to need to feel to beat this tough game. You can shoot left or right or straight in front of you. Pretty basic. You cannot shoot behind you, which sucks, because in later levels, enemies will come from behind you. You have a score, which is money. This is cool because you can buy certain guns and other things like horses. However, these items can be expensive, so choose your purchases wisely. In order to face the boss of the level, you need to find the wanted poster hidden in the level, or the level will repeat itself. The poster is invisible, so you have to shoot everywhere to find it. This is kind of dumb, and it can make you stuck... and can make you stuck on a level until you find the poster. Thankfully, you can buy the poster from shopkeepers, but the poster costs a lot, and usually you will want to buy other items. In my opinion, the horse is the best thing to buy, as it will let you move around faster and give you an extra hit point or two. Getting hit once will normally kill you. You have extra lives and infinite continues, so you've got that going for you, but when you get a game over, you lose all of your money, and getting enough back to buy weapons and items again is tedious and can make it near impossible to beat the later levels, because you start out very ill-equipped. With enough patience, though, you can beat this game. It's pretty satisfying completing a level and collecting your reward. I like the game's graphics, and they feel they were ported well from the arcade. I also like the mugshots of the bandit boss at the beginning of each level, and how he has bullet holes in him after beating the level. Kind of reminds me of Mega Man, which is my favorite game series ever. The game sprites are drawn okay and have decent animations for an arcade game. The music and sound effects are done fairly well. They all sound different enough to have a good Western feel. I also like how each boss has their own theme. Not much else to say here. Overall, I like this game. It's fun shooting bandits, getting power-ups, and completing levels. There's not a lot of variety gameplay-wise, but I feel it's done well. Story 5, gameplay 8, control 8, graphics 7, music 7, overall 7. All of these out of 10. That's not a bad little review, Ice Mage. Good job. Moving on to our next review from Mushroom Fantasy 2004. They say, we are on your side. In this addictive side-scrolling button-mashing people-shooting Western-styled action game for the NES, you're bound to get some help along the way, mainly from random people who stand in the crossfire of battle selling you items and saying, we are on your side. Is this game truly a classic, or is another poorly designed action drone? Or is, it says. We'll find out. I'm sure we will. Story 6 out of 10. One day, in 1849, a gang of outlaws called the Wingates, almost as bad a name as House of Ruth in Eight Eyes, XD, came into town, killed the sheriff, oh noes, and took over the town. This town goes by the name of Hicksville. It's time for a hillbilly moment, shot. your Bandit Bill rifle, and it's up to you to save the poker town. I'm sure there's a joke there, and I don't know what it is. There's a lot of parentheses. Every little aside is in parentheses. I don't think there's many from this point on, though, so let's see. Gameplay 9 out of 10. The gameplay of this game is simple yet fun. You control Bill through the town, shooting the members of the Wingates while traveling north in a side-scrolling manner. Several of the Wingates' line of offense are snipers who attack from various buildings along the side, troopers who run up close and fire, people who walk up and plant dynamite which goes explode after a few seconds, and cowboys who leap across the road. The trooper-like people enjoy ganging up on you, and some jump off the buildings. Your main gun has infinite ammo, but you can find several other guns either by buying them or finding them from downed enemies or barrels. Several enemies drop money and ammo. Pick them up. Instead of purchasing guns and ammo from the civilians who sell you guns in the middle of the road, you can find most of these items in barrels by shooting them and from enemies. The various guns range from multi-bullet shotguns, fast-shooting machine guns, and exploding smart bombs. The game is a tad on the button-mashing side, but it's still fun to play. Sound and music, 7 out of 10. The music and sound effects are decent. I like the Western-style music as a background. The sound of the bullets firing does get a tad annoying after a while, though. Graphics, 6 out of 10. Gunsmoke's graphics are so-so. The backgrounds are somewhat detailed, and you can tell what stuff is. The bullet sprites could have been a little better than that stupid round palette, though. Replay value, 9 out of 10. This game is addicting and fun to play. Not to mention different combinations of guns and weapons to use, learning when to use power-ups such as the horse and boots, and moving on different sides of the street. Summary, 8 out of 10. Gunsmoke is a fun and interesting action game to help pass the time. It can be a tad frustrating at times, but it's easy enough for anybody to learn and master. Just remember that we are on your side. Odd little review, Mushroom Fantasy. But not bad. And finally, Evil Nightmare in 2004. A Western shoot-em-up with ninjas and a guy named Fat Man Joe. Sorry, I think I got it. I think I got the thing out of my finger. Yeah, that looks alright. Return the sewing kit to the sewing kit bag. I don't have a, you know, like one of them cookie tins, so mine lives in a little leather bag. Anyway. Evil Nightmare. Gameplay 9. Gunsmoke is a Western shoot-em-up made by Capcom. It's like a standard shoot-em-up, being that you die in one hit. It is played in the overhead perspective. The B button shoots your gun to the diagonal left. The A button shoots your gun to the diagonal right. Pressing B and A shoots your gun in the middle. The game is very simplistic, but it executes the simplicity well. During the game, you can purchase different guns: the shotgun, which fires a spread of bullets, the machine gun, which fires a regular shot in rapid succession, the magnum, which fires powerful shots which pierce and go all the way across the screen, the smart bomb, which is the same as your regular shot, but when you get hit, instead of dying, it kills all the enemies on the screen. All guns have limited amount of ammo which can be acquired by killing enemies. However, the real strategy with guns come from the unique concept that if you die while using a certain gun, you lose that gun but keep all that were unequipped. Horses can be found, which allow better maneuverability. Horses can also be found, which allow better maneuverability. Two words, and absorbs a couple shots before it dies. The game consists of only 6 stages, which can be rather short. To complete a stage, you must obtain the wanted poster, which can be found during the stage, or bought for a large amount of money. At the end of each stage, you will face a boss and get a reward for defeating the boss. Bosses range from Cutter, who throws boomerangs, to Devil Hawk, an Indian who spews fireballs, to a ninja named Ninja, and to a man named Fat Man Joe, who fires bombs. Sound 5. The sound is average, which is why it receives a 5. Nothing spectacular or outstanding. It gets the point across as it fits the theme of the game. One gripe I have a game about the game's sound is that whenever you open up the menu to select a different gun, the music starts at the beginning every time. The sound effects are okay as well. Graphics 8. The graphics are pretty decent. The game does a good job of differentiating between different things in the environment to prevent confusion. The wanted posters were well detailed as well. Replay 10. In bold. The joy of this game comes from the replay value. Being a short shoot 'em up, the game thrives on multiple plays through. multiple plays through. This is one of those games that after you finish it, you want to play it again. It is good to play at any time to fill a short time period, so the shortness of the game adds benefit to this category. Overall 9. Gunsmoke is a great game. I suggest this to anyone who enjoys NES, shoot 'em ups, and Capcom. So go out and buy a copy of this underrated NES classic. And even though Sound got a 5, Evil Nightmare wraps it up with a 9. There were going to be 11 stages in the arcade version. However, because of time, they ran out of time to do the 11th stage. All of the trivia is for the arcade version. Gunsmoke's original name was Gunman. The name was changed after Capcom thought it would be better to give the game a title with a more recognizable name. In this case, the television show Gunsmoke. The legal team added a period between the word gun and smoke to avoid potential legal issues. Yep. Originally, there was going to be 8 stages on the NES version, but it looks like that also didn't work out as well. This is a good game. I like this game a lot. I enjoy it. I think it's short, which is good for a game like this. I think some games, they just go on too long. Some beat 'em ups do, some shooters do. This game, I think, is just right. It's not terribly long. It's not terribly short. It's hard enough. It's got enough replay value. It's got enough things to keep it interesting that I think really does make it a really solid game. NES version came out in 88. I think the music is great. I think the graphics are great. I think the control is great. And the story's kind of humdrum, but because it is a Western and that was kind of a rare thing for video games at the time, I think I would give Gunsmoke. This is one of those games where, like, I'm going to score it higher than the score it totals to because, well, I'm going to give it an 8 across the board, but I'm going to give it a 9 as a total because I think it's just fun. You know, there's nothing broken about it. It works really well, and it's just a fun game. Our movie this week, ladies and gentlemen, Witness for the Prosecution, by the great Billy Wilder, directed by, starring Tyrone Power, Marlene Dietrich, Charles Laughton, and Elsa Lancaster. Lancaster, should you decide to pronounce it that way? Fantastic movie. Everybody in this is great, especially the great Charles Laughton. I'm a huge, huge fan of Charles Laughton. It's a legal mystery thriller, directed by Billy Wilder, of course. Elements of bleak black comedy and film noir. It's a courtroom drama set in Old Bailey in London, based on a 1953 play by the same name by Agatha Christie. It's the first film adaptation of Christie's story. The film was acclaimed by critics, received 6 Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture, 5 Golden Globes, including a win for Elsa for the Best Actress in a Supporting Role. It was selected as the 6th Best Courtroom Drama ever by the AFI for their top 10 list. In the film, a man is accused of killing a wealthy widow who had named him as the main beneficiary in her will. The accused person's wife testifies against him, but her testimony is undermined by handwritten letters which supposedly prove that she had conspired against her husband. Following the trial, the wife admits spoilers, so we're not going to get into that. It's a fantastic movie. I really, really enjoy it. Like I said, everybody in it's really good. Charles Laughton is, any movie that's got Charles Laughton in it, he is the best part of that movie, hands down. hands down, fantastic, fantastic actor. Other things you might know him from specifically would be the original Hunchback of Notre Dame movie, where he plays the Hunchback and steals every single scene in that movie that he is in. There are other really good actors in that movie, and he just makes them look like I would look in those situations. He is so good, and this movie is so good. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. We need some news. I didn't pull up the news. I'm sorry. Oh, yes, I did. I wondered. I opened up the wrong link. Like, why do I have that open? This is New West Records. I didn't mean New West Records. I meant News of the Weird. Our lead story, Creme de la Weird, ladies and gentlemen. NBC News reported on March 21st about a Tennessee man suffering from a very, very long word, which is shortened up to PMO. Prosopometamorphopsia. PMO. Prosopometamorphosia. Sure. A neurological disorder, I can see why they shortened it. Disorder that causes victims to perceive faces in distorted shapes, sizes, texture, or color. In Victor Sara's case, he sees faces as demonic. The 51-year-old of Clarksville said it started in November 2020. My first thought was I woke up in a demon world, he said. You can't imagine how scary it was. What do demons look like? Sara says sees the distortions only in person, not in pictures or on computer screens. Consequently, he was able to work with researchers at Dartmouth College to create a visual representation of what he sees versus reality. There are fewer than 100 reported cases of PMO, and symptoms can continue for years, as his have, or they can resolve after just a few days. I think that'd be fun. I mean, maybe I'm weird, but just saying. Story of awesome. Punxsutawney Phil and his wife, Phyllis, have big news. They are the parents of two healthy babies, the AP reported. Phil and Phyllis have started a family, said Thomas Dunkel, president of the Inner Circle, part of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club. The internet sounds nefarious. I talked to Phil with my cane, which lets me speak Groundhogese, and Phil could not be more excited. Okay, Thomas. Phil and Phyllis live in climate-controlled quarters at the Punxsutawney Memorial Library, but plans are in place to move them to a larger quarters on the grounds now that their family is growing. Dunkel said the offspring will not become Punxsutawney Phil because Phil is immortal, having drunk the elixir of life, which Phyllis is prohibited from imbibing. All of that is information that came from this Thomas Dunkel fella. Some people get a little too into their jobs. Here's a police report. In 2024, California started prohibiting police departments from sharing photos of suspects in nonviolent crimes, UPI reported. Accordingly, the Murrieta Police Department started using emojis, characters from movies, and most recently, Lego head images to cover the faces of suspects when they posted on social media. But now Lieutenant Jeremy Durant said the Lego heads have to go. The Lego group reached out to us respectfully and asked us to refrain from using their intellectual property in our social media content, which we understand and will comply with, because Lego would sue us into oblivion because the smallest Lego blocks cost $18 each. I may have added some of that. Here's some bright ideas. A 47-year-old man was arrested in Parowan, Utah. I don't know what that is, where that is. It must be down south. On March 17th, after multiple drivers reported him from I-15, KSL-TV reported, callers said the man pickup truck, had red and blue flashing lights, and they were getting other vehicles to move out of the way, police said. What tipped them off? Well, the pickup also had a construction company logo on the side. The suspect indicated he was only trying to get through traffic faster and not pull anyone over. He also tested positive for... Wow. Are you ready for this? This man had everything. Tested positive for cannabis, amphetamines, and methamphetamine, and had a small bag of white powder that he says he uses to, quote, stay awake while driving. He was booked into the Iron County Jail. They test positive for all that. Why? Did you do the cannabis first? Like, oh, that was a mistake. I better double down on all the amines. Those do different things, sir. Emma Keane, 42, of Wales, was on the fourth day of her trek to Mount Everest Base Camp in March to raise money for the Kidney Wales Foundation, Wales Online reported. I think unless I say otherwise, assume it's the country, not the animal, okay? As she FaceTimed with her brother and sister-in-law, she showed them a yak standing about 2 meters away. Without warning, I could hear the hooves pounding towards me, a sharp stabbing pain on the top of my leg, Keane said. The yak was readying for another run when she was helped away and airlifted to a hospital where she got 10 stitches. She later rejoined the group to finish the hike on horseback. My charity means a lot to me as my brother Peter is currently on the transplant list, Keane said. It was important that I continue with the trek. Well, what you should have done is bled out from yak stab, and given your kidney to your brother. That'd have been the nice thing to do. Some sister you are. 10 stitches sounds like a lot, but it's not a whole lot. When I had my finger thing, 16 years ago now, almost. I can still see all the scarring from where they had to stitch it. So I can see all the little dots along the side of the incision. And I'll bet I had 40 stitches in that finger. So that's not 10 stitches. It's not a small thing, but it ain't big. Government in action. A state Senate panel in South Carolina is investigating a mystery involving $1.8 billion, the Associated Press reported on March 26th. The huge sum has accumulated over the last decade in a bank account, but authorities don't know where the money is coming from or where it's supposed to go. It does not inspire confidence, said Governor Henry McMaster, but the good news is no money was lost. Meanwhile, state officers are pointing fingers at each other, and lawmakers are annoyed that the money is sitting idle while requests from state agencies are going to unfulfilled. There's no need to hurry up and try to spend it, McMaster said. Unless you're one of those government organizations, departments that can't run a profit. There are some of those. How hard is it to track where money comes from and where it goes? I don't know. Continuing on in government in action, in Oakland, California, 102-year-old Victor Silva Sr. received a citation earlier in March from the city about the graffiti on his fence, KTVU-TV reported. If he didn't remove it, he faced a 111 $1,100 fine, plus $1,277 for each failed re-inspection. Before Silva started using a wheelchair, he'd paint over the graffiti himself. Now Silva Jr., who is 70, has that task. It's hard to keep up with because as soon as we get it painted, it's going to be graffiti on it again, and it won't last, he said. The family owns a business nearby that's been broken into 3 times in the last year. It's hard to understand where our tax dollars are going, Silver Jr. said. They can't answer 911, but they can come out and hassle you about a fence. The city inspector is expected to review the case and most likely cancel the citation. You know, if it's a thing that keeps happening, put somebody on it. You know what I mean? Just put somebody on it. Put somebody on it. In 2 nights, you'll have it figured out. The continuing crisis. Easter is obviously not a good time for an egg shortage, as Norwegians are finding out. The AP reported that as a result of bird flu and overproduction, which led the county to ask farmers to reduce their production, eggs are not only hard to find, but are expensive when you can get your hands on them. So Norwegians are crossing the border to Sweden, where 20 packs of eggs are readily available and cost about $3.70, which is 30% less than in Norway. The Maximat food store in Sweden, about 62 miles south of Oslo, has been filled with quote desperate shoppers. The Norwegian news outlet Nettavisen reported all of that. I wonder if any of them had large ears in a colorful basket. I hate you. It's come to this, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that life. Oh yeah, this has been a thing. The life-saving door at the end of the Titanic, the one that Rose and Jack couldn't both fit on. At Heritage Auctions in Dallas on March 23rd, the balsa wood panel used in the movie sold for $718,750 to an anonymous buyer, the New York Times reported. The auction liquidating a large trove of items from Planet Hollywood, including Indiana Jones's whip and Jack's axe from The Shining. No word yet on whether the new owner had tested the door's width to see if Jack might have, after all, survived. I do appreciate that for all the little editorializing the news did in their own story. That's my job. You don't need to do that. They didn't differentiate between the two different Jacks in the thing, especially since one of them used the axe to cut open a door and the other one was supposed to have not been able to fit on a door. I don't know. I haven't seen Titanic. I don't care. Warren, folks, this is a new album from a new time in everybody's life. This is Sentimental Hygiene, the title track from the 1987 album Sentimental Hygiene. This is the first one that he considered his sober album. Wrote the whole thing after doing a little bit of rehab, etc., etc. Features such great tracks as Reconsider Me and Leave My Monkey Alone. Basically all of REM except Michael Stipe shows up on this album for a couple of things. Actually, no, excuse me, Michael Stipe's on it too. He sings backup on a song. Zevon's here, Jorge Calderon's here, all of them. Bob Dylan's here, Flea is here, Don Henley's here, Brian Setzer is here, Lee Sklar is here again, Michael Stipe, Waddy Wachtel, Neil Young, and like I said, pretty much the entirety of the band R.A.M. is here. This actually led to a little side project called Hindu Love Gods that was basically all of R.A.M. plus Warren Zevon instead of Michael Stipe singing. And that is a fantastic album. Maybe one we'll get into later. But for now, check out Sentimental Hygiene, lead track from Sentimental Hygiene. And then go into the of the other songs. There's some really damn good songs on here. Like, really good. Thank you. This wraps up the show for the week, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed it. We will be back next Thursday, where we've got all the stuff that we talked about this week, but the next week's version of it. Interesting how that works, isn't it? It's kind of like I planned it that way. What do we got next week? Oh, we got some good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. We got some good stuff again next week, looking at the movie and the song. Oh, it's going to be great. If you would like to check out any of the videos for any of the games we talked about on this week's edition, like Final Fantasy Tactics, which we still have some new episodes of, Gunsmoke and Gun, if you want to check out videos for the new stream, which last I checked just a little while ago was not going to be the game we thought it was going to be, you can do all of that. Check that stuff out. JasonsGrooveMachine.com. That's where it lives. And you can get anywhere from there, really. That's kind of how that works. I'm going to go and check real quick. Let's go to posts. Let's go to this one. Yep. Okay. I'm calling it. We are streaming coming from behind, ladies and gentlemen. After Image was our lead for like a week. And then just the other day, Sunday afternoon, I peeked at it. And Dredge is winning. Dredge is the winner. We're going to be streaming Dredge. And I'm kind of excited about that. I like that. Well, I shouldn't say I like it. I haven't played it. I played it like an hour because I thought it was going to lose. So I started playing it. Anyway, join us Monday nights, twitch.tv/Jason's Groove Machine, 6 p.m. Mountain Time if you want to catch a stream. If not, it'll all be available on the Groove Machine website or on YouTube several days later. I want to thank everybody for joining me. We will see you next time. Take care.